This is the ODG Apparel Podcast.
Wait, I'm not understanding. Why does an apparel company have a podcast, though?
Because they're that awesome.
All right, guys, we got another long-form conversation podcast. On this episode, we have Jessica Betts. Jessica, you run an account on Instagram. That's how we found you, which is super awesome. That deals a lot with the Enneagram. Introduce yourself, tell our listeners kind of what you're about, and yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for having me. My name, like you said, is Jessica Betts. I run an Instagram account called Menneagram, and the whole focus of the page is nothing but how do we love Jesus well, and how can we use the Enneagram to really show us what it looks like to walk in discipleship?
That's super cool. And so how did you get into this, right? We talked a little bit about it off air, but like, how did you end up, right? It's not every day that someone ends up having their own like kind of Instagram account about something like the Enneagram. So how did you end up here?
Yeah, so it was totally on accident on my end, but I have just always loved personality tests or diagnostics. I kind of started looking at strength finders, looked at things like the Myers-Briggs test and DISC, and I loved all of them. But with the Enneagram, it was the first test I saw that really showed why we act the way we act instead of how we act. And I serve as a campus missionary. That's my job on a college campus where there are so many people who want to know why they are the way they are, and really, why is it that they act the way they act? And so the Enneagram has just provided such a great focus and a great lens to look at why we act the way that we act, but also how do we walk with Jesus well, knowing who we are.
That's good. And so I have a little bit of a connection to the Enneagram. Actually, like, I feel like, not to sound super cool and super old at the same time, but I feel like I was a part of a church in Tampa called the Tampa Underground who was talking about the Enneagram, like, I feel like, what it was, like, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And then it was like over the last few years that it became like everyone was talking about it. And so how long ago did you kind of get involved with doing this Enneagram stuff where it was just like, it feels like everyone's talking about it now. Am I wrong?
No, it really does feel like out of nowhere, or at least in more of a Christian circle, the boom of the Enneagram has seemed to happen really over the past two or three years. So you being introduced to it 12 or 13 years ago definitely makes you an OG of the Enneagram, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take it. That's why we started ODG Apparel. Like, I'm OG for Enneagram, so
there
basically,
we go.
You know, it just carries over. So, okay, help me understand the Enneagram, because I feel like I kind of understand it, and I feel like, so step one is, like, where can you learn kind of about what you are, like, from a number? Because I know it's, like, a number thing, right? Like, people are certain numbers.
Yes, yeah, so there's nine different numbers that really focus on nine core desires that we have that really shape the way that we view the world. Typically, I like to tell people the best way you can learn what number you are or learn what type you are is to just read through the different core desires, core fears, and see, like, oh, okay, I think this one sounds a lot like me. But if you are new to the Enneagram and are just kind of really being introduced to it, I think two really great tools that I always recommend to people is using Beth McCord's Your Enneagram Coach and also Ian Michael Cron's The Road Back to You.
I was just actually at a conference the other day and Ian Cron spoke at it. It was pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's funny because that's sort of where my brain was when we were like reaching out to you about being on the podcast. Like, I'm just hearing about this again, and then what is your number? Like, so can you kind of walk us through what you are and sort of how that shapes your ministry?
Yes. So I am a 6 wing 5. So my core desire is to be safe, and type sixes who are out here know all about, I don't have plan A all the time. I usually have plans A through Z. And it's been really interesting because I know, because I'm a type six, the way that I can tell that I'm trusting the Lord is, do I have peace in my life? Do I really trust Him to keep me secure? Or do I find myself in seasons or situations where I feel like, oh, everything can go wrong. I have to trust myself, and I'm the one who's going to keep myself safe.
Mm, got it. So you're basically taking, that's a really cool like transition that you made. You're basically taking sort of this core desire that you see in yourself connected, you know, with how the Enneagram kind of breaks it down by numbers, and then kind of using that to learn sort of how are you following Jesus and kind of where your heart's at based on how you're, like, if you feel fearful, then you're not trusting. Right? Is that kind of what I'm hearing? That sounds like a really cool way to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly how I use the Enneagram. I tell people all the time when we're starting with the Enneagram, hey, this number doesn't define you. That's God. God calls you. God made you. He created you. He loved you and He formed you. The Enneagram just gives us language to see the good work that God is doing and that God has done. And so the Enneagram itself, when used correctly, is a compass that points us back to Jesus.
Mm. That's such a mature way of describing it, because I feel like it's, as Christians, we're so quick to take the good tools that God has given us and like mess them up, right? And and make them the thing, versus just like, hey, this is a tool God has given us. And I just know for me, the few times I've done stuff like this, and I even looking at the Enneagram, I've glanced at it over the last few years. I don't even really remember what I was 12 years ago, but I've glanced at it over the last few years. I think I'm an 8. I think people tell me I'm an 8. And so people are always like, oh, you're an 8. And they always say it with like condescendingly. Like, I'm like, uh-oh, what's an 8?
The challenger.
But, yes. And so, but also like something I'm always pushing back on with whatever it is, whether it's Enneagram or anything, it's like, guys, we need to run after Jesus. Like, these are tools in our hands that we can use wisely or not wisely. And I love how you described it. Like, no, this is this helps me understand how I respond to things and how to kind of gauge where I'm at with the Lord, right? If I'm not acting in this way, but I'm acting that way, I think that's a super cool way of doing it. I really like that. That's awesome.
I think one of the things that has really been on my mind lately, I was talking to some friends who they'll call me and they'll talk about the Enneagram with me, and they want some information on how they can best use it. And one of the things I always come back to is your number is not an excuse to sin. We can't give our personality traits to a number and expect that to define us. And so when we find ourselves in any situation where we're saying, oh, this is all I am, or this is who I am, or I'm just going to act like this because, you know, we can put it on the Enneagram, we can put it on Myers-Briggs. Oh, I'm just like this because I'm extroverted or introverted. Oh, I'm just like this because I'm a 6. The reality is, no, you're more than that. You're more than a number. You're more than a personality type. And so we can't use things like the Enneagram or any other personality diagnostic as an excuse not to walk out lordship. And so what it really does and how it really transforms our walk with the Lord is when we use it to check our blind spots and to look at things that we might say, hey, I'm feeling this type of way. I really feel like, you know, looking at these different patterns in my life where I might not be trusting God to fulfill the desires of my heart, and I'm now leaning on my own understanding. The Enneagram really helps us put language to those areas where we might be vulnerable to do that. But it's not who we are. We are called and created by God and God alone.
Perfect way to describe it. I don't think you could have worded it better. It's so, such a great way to walk someone through that truth, because even yesterday I was in a meeting at our church, and we were talking about We're doing a sermon series in our church about like kind of the pillars of our church body, like what we want our church to be like. And one of them is we want to be a church that shares life with people, right? That really invests in sharing relationships and the sacrifice of that. And one of the things I brought up was, hey, I want us to communicate that some of us are introverted, some of us are extroverted, but that doesn't mean that we just kind of throw our hands up like, well, that's not my thing, right? Like that, sure. No, being a Christian means you sacrificially share your life with others. It doesn't say unless you're an introvert or only if you're an extrovert. You know what I mean? Like it's so easy to, that helps kind of shape how we do it. Maybe we do it differently because we kind of have different personalities, but we don't just not do it.
Exactly.
Okay. So Jessica, help me understand. I mean, I don't think people realize how difficult it is to run an Instagram that has 20,000 something followers on it. And we do it for our business. I own other businesses that we interact with. And so it's a lot of work. And so what's your kind of goal with all of this, right? Because it's you're in campus ministry at what college is it again that you're at?
At Texas State University.
And so you're on staff? Is that something that you're like a paid position?
Yes. So my full-time job is being a campus missionary.
And so campus missionary, that means that you're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because you're caring for people. People don't realize that. That's another thing to pivot off the Instagram thing for a second. Like my wife is in full-time ministry and people are like, oh, so you don't really work then? And it's like, no, I work 10 times more than everybody else does because my work isn't 9 to 5. It's sharing life with people, sharing meals with people, and being available. Like my wife talks about it all the time. Like part of her job is to be available, you know, and that's sometimes 10 o'clock at night, you know, 2 in the morning, whatever it is. And so how do you do both? How do you do the ministry? How do you do this thing? Because I don't think it's as simple as posting pictures, right? You're getting DMs, you're interacting with people. So how does that all work for you? How does that work time-wise?
That is a great question. I think the main thing that I have to hold to, one, first and foremost, the book Boundaries changed my life when it came to being able to hold hobbies and work and just life all in the same hands. But with the Enneagram page specifically, the one thing I always said is, if this isn't life-giving to me, I'm not doing it. And because of that, it's really allowed me to help set a schedule that doesn't make it necessarily feel like extra work, but it's something that I get to see as a hobby, but also tends to be a pretty time-consuming one because there are messages to interact with, people to talk to. I get tons of messages just in the day-to-day of, hey, I recently discovered I'm a 4 and this makes so much sense, but what does that look like trying to walk out relationships with people of other types, or those kinds of questions that I feel like, oh, I don't want to just leave those on read. So I need to make time to do that too. And then there's the content creation part of the page as well. If you don't post anything, you don't really have a page. And so, I've had to learn to really stick to a good schedule, but the first and foremost thing for me was always, is this life-giving to me? And is it something that I truly believe is a ministry in itself? Is it a way that I could show people how to really walk out their callings and who they are in a way that honors Jesus?
That's good. And so what's the goal then? What's the kind of long-term goal with this whole thing?
You know,
do you have one?
I can't really say that I have a specific one. I remember even in just the past couple of months being nowhere close to 20,000 followers and just, you know, posting because my friends wanted to see content. And it's kind of evolved into something that's bigger than that. And so the goal for me has just always been, how many people can I reach with the gospel off this page? And so it's not necessarily this numerical goal or this end game, but if this is a way, if social media is a way that we interact with the world nowadays, and it is I think there's some days I might spend more time on social media than I do face-to-face with some people. But if I know that this is a tool, why not use it in a way that glorifies God? And if that's doing something that I'm already passionate about with the Enneagram, why not use this platform as a way to be able to share that with others?
That's good. That's really good. And then how are you using it? Because I'm sure there's people who are listening who are like, hey, I'm never going to start an Enneagram page, right? Like, I'm going to live the gospel out in my normal day life. Like, God hasn't called me to that. But how would you encourage, like, people who are living on mission, who are sharing their life, sharing the gospel with people, how would you encourage them to use the tool like the Enneagram, like, in their ministry?
Yeah, so first and foremost, once again, with the Enneagram, I know I get a lot of people who will come back and say things like, well, I don't think it's super helpful, or I don't understand how this can be used for ministry, or whatever their lane may be. And my first response is, hey, this isn't going to help you honor God or walk out honoring God with others, then don't use it. You know, it's just another tool in a big toolbox of creativity that God has really given us to reach his people. And so for me personally, it's the one that I feel like God has really given me the grace to use. And so if you find yourself in a place of wanting to use the Enneagram, I think the first thing I could say is, you know, find a group of people who you want to really do it with, but more so always remember that it is not the defining factor. It's just another tool in the toolbox that is meant to point you back to Jesus. And so use it first and with wisdom, you know, but it can give such great language to why people see the world the way they do. And as I said earlier, it's a great tool to check blind spots and be able to say, I already know I'm prone to feeling like I might be abandoned, or that like I'm not safe. And so when I find myself in a mindset of, oh, I'm the one who needs to be in the control, I'm the one who is constantly thinking, oh, what will go wrong? What can go wrong? What happens if it goes wrong next? It gives me a chance to step back and say, okay, Lord, what is it that I'm not trusting you with right now? And how do I even repent from that and say, Lord, I might not be able to put language to why I'm feeling the way I am, but I know I am. And so can you teach my heart to trust you in this moment? Can you show me that you keep me safe and show me how loved I am by you? And it's those little moments of being able to use this tool as a way to reconnect back to that heart of God and really trust him with what we believe our worst fears to be.
That's good. That's really, really good. That's really good. So let's talk about me for a second, right? Because I keep thinking, now that you're talking about this, I keep thinking like, okay, you're the perfect person to ask. So what, if I'm an eight, if people tell me I'm an eight, what does that mean?
So with eights, it's really interesting because the core fear that underlies with an eight a lot of times is they don't want to be betrayed. And so typically with your Enneagram number, it's formed at a moment of what is trauma as a child, in which you believed that you were betrayed, or you were put in a position where you might have been manipulated or around power or people in authority who didn't really have your best intentions in mind. And so what's really interesting about that is eights are known as this challenging type. They have this huge heart for justice that we see really make differences in history, because they're such great advocates of truth and of really wanting to make sure that people aren't being stepped on or looked over. And so there's this name, the Challenger, that comes with that. And it's one of the, I'm sorry, I like stumbled over my words there. I had to cough. But with the eights, it's really interesting because their real heart is to just know that God is for them. He's with you, and that he will never leave you or forsake you. And so I think of the verses of the Lord being this strong tower and this mighty one who will save you, and knowing how much that tends to speak to an Enneagram 8's heart of knowing, I am so secure in my knowledge that I will not be betrayed by God, that his portion for me is good, that he's the one who fights these battles, and I don't have to fight them. I have to, in faith, walk where he has called me to walk, but I know that victory belongs to him and him alone.
That's good. That's really good. And then what's this whole idea of like the wing side of it? What's that mean?
So the wing is on the Enneagram, it's the numbers that are to the left and to the right of you. So as an 8, you can wing to a 7, or you can wing to a 9. And it just gives a more full picture of how and why we see the world the way that we do. And so there's typically one number between the wings that you tend to have a little bit more of your personality traits and who you are in. And so I don't know if you know, do you know if you're an 8-wing 7 or an 8-wing 9?
I don't know. What's a 7? Let's figure it out right now on the air. Boom.
There,
let's do it
there
live.
We go. So your 7 is your enthusiast. They desire to find, they want joy, and they want contentment. And so the fear with the 7 is that they might get stuck in this feeling of dissatisfaction, or they're scared of not being fulfilled. Your 9 is your peacemaker. So their core desire is to know that they are seen by God, and there's a real fear of disunity or being put in situations in which their voice just doesn't matter.
Probably more of a 9 than a 7, I would say.
The 8-wing 9. Awesome.
Yeah. I think that's it. I'm going to start telling everybody now that that's what I am. And so what about, like, would you be okay with kind of walking us through the other ones? Because I'm sure there's other people on the, like, in a quick sentence or two, like, what those other numbers are and how they represent sort of the number and what they represent. Would you be cool with that?
Yeah. I actually, if you don't mind, I have a quick diagram I'm just going to pull up with every...
Yeah, do it. Because I'm imagining people are like me and they've heard about it and they sort of have an idea of it, but like you kind of described it differently than some people have, which I liked how you described it, where it's like, you don't have to take this huge, big, crazy test. I mean, I'm sure that those help, but sometimes you can just kind of listen to what these are and get a real feel for what kind of where you might at least start looking,
yes.
Right?
I did a teaching on this not too long ago, so I have all my notes still, the bullet points of it, so I'm
awesome.
Going to go through them really quickly.
Yeah, and I'm totally putting you on the spot, by the way. I should have prepared you for that. But I'm like, why not? Where people are listening, they're probably wondering.
Yeah, for sure. So just to go through them real quickly, type 1 is known as the moralist. The desire is to know that they are good and redeemable. Type 2 is the helper. The desire of the 2 is to know that they are worth loving. The 3 is the achiever. Their desire is to know that they are valuable. Type 4 is the individualist, and their desire is to know that their differences aren't defects, and that they are unique. Type 5 is the investigator. Their desire is to know that their needs are not a problem. The 6 is the loyal guardian, and their desire is to know that they are safe and secure. The 7 is the enthusiast, and their desire is to know that they will be satisfied. The 8 is the protector or the challenger, and their desire is to know that they are strong and brave. And then the type 9 is the peacemaker, and their desire is to know that their presence matters and that they belong.
It's good. It's super good. Yeah. So for anyone listening, like, I encourage you to dive into that a little bit, right? If this is a tool, like Jessica mentioned, if this is a tool, we have it at our disposal to use it, right? And so something I'm always interacting with people in my Bible study, people at our church, is like, I don't want to ever live this Christian life sort of trying things out. Maybe I'll follow Jesus today. Maybe I'll try to follow Jesus tomorrow. Like I want us to be all in, you know? And so if there's a tool out there like the Enneagram that can help us get closer to walking with the Lord the way that he's called us to, like, we should jump all into it and be mindful and be, you know, inquisitive and ask hard questions, but we should be pursuing all of these realities. So that's my encouragement to anybody listening. And so maybe I'm totally wrong, Jessica, but I feel like that's probably
I agree with you. So right? If you're wrong, I guess I am too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you're describing it as this tool. Like, I keep going back to that because we should be using as Christians every tool at our disposal.
Yes.
Right? Like, rather than just sort of throwing our hands up and sort of not going all in for Jesus, right? Like, it's so easy in our culture to not go all in.
I totally agree.
And so
I think it's also important to know what kind of tools we're using too. I know with the Enneagram, when I say it's a tool, I also want to specify, like, it's not a hammer in which we try to beat others up with, and it's not a magnifying glass to inspect people's flaws and call them out. But if this is being used correctly, this tool that it's most associated to or should be closest to is a compass, and it should be always pointing us back to Jesus. And so even with the Enneagram, it is a powerful tool, but you don't use a screwdriver to hammer in a nail. It wouldn't be the point of it. And so we not only need to use all the tools and gifts that God gives us, but we also need to be careful to use them correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. It's really good. So to pivot a little bit, Jessica, I mean, it's something I do in most of the podcasts, and it's just here you are, you're in campus ministry. You're doing all this work with the Enneagram, right? What does following Jesus in your life on a day-to-day basis look like? Like, because I always want people who are listening to realize that we are not like some special Christian because we happen to be on a podcast, or you happen to run that social account, or I happen to own ODG Apparel. Like, that we are people pursuing Christ today in our lives. And so what does practically following Jesus look like for you on a day-to-day basis? Like, what are some tips? What are some practical things that you're doing to follow Jesus?
This might be one of my favorite questions I've ever been asked. I think for me, the most practical thing I could say when it comes to loving Jesus, well, I guess there's two. One, read your Bible. You know, I think we forget how much power there is in the written word of God. And so often we can try to use a devotional or a book or even something that should be a tool like the Enneagram or a personality test to have more say in our life than the written word of God. And it's just not the wise thing to do. So the first thing I say is read the Bible. Number two, the single-handed biggest thing I can offer is the Christian life is meant to be walked out with community. If you ever find yourself in a place of isolation, which is something I know I tend to be more prone to, it's really, really hard to walk out the Christian faith alone. And I don't think it's something that God calls us to do. And so find community, find your church, find people who are willing to say, hey, I see your flaws, but I'm going to call out who God says you are. I see your hard days. I see your struggles, but I know who God is calling you to be, and we will not settle for anything other than walking out the Christian disciple life together. I think that's something that's been so important to my walk with the Lord. Just reading my Bible, being accountable, being in community.
That's awesome. And so when you talk about reading your Bible, and I love how you made that distinction between devotional, right? Because it can be so easy for people to hear that and go, all right, I'll go read a devotional. It's like, no, I love the idea of doing the hard work of getting used to reading your Bible. Like, that's something I'm always communicating to people. Like, when I started reading my Bible, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, this makes perfect sense. It's so easy. Like, it's something that you have to get familiar with. And so there's a lot of times where you're like, God, I don't know if I'm understanding this, but like, I'm here. Like, be gracious with me. And so practically, what does that look like for you when you're reading your Bible, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't think there's a right way or a wrong way, but like, even just like practical tips for how you do that specifically, that discipline of reading your Bible. Like, do you do it at a certain time? Are you reading through a reading plan? Like, what's your way of kind of seeking the
Lord?
For sure.
The easiest thing for me has just been going off the year reading plan. I am a scheduler, your type A to the T. And so having time in the morning, especially because I am more of a morning person, with a reading plan, going through the Bible in a year has really been the most helpful tool for me and something to really encourage. I really like what you said too. There's so many times we can get discouraged when the Word of God doesn't sit comfortably with us. And I know that tends to be a hindrance a lot of time in pressing in and plugging into the Word. And one of the things that I've noticed in my own life is the closer I get to Jesus, the longer I've been walking out the Christian faith, the more times I really do find myself wrestling with the Word of God. And I think it's so important to know that our questions and our concerns or even these things that feel so weighty to us, they do not scare God. And I really think that it's in the wrestling and in the sitting and even having to say sometimes, God, I really don't know how I read sits with me, but by faith, I'm going to trust that you are doing something in this time. By faith, I'm going to just trust that you are good and you are wise, and there's going to be something in here that will sit in my soul. Just have those times to be really vulnerable with God with your reading. It doesn't have to always be perfect, and it doesn't always have to make sense in the moment. But I think in reading the Word of God, when we have questions, when we have concerns or doubts or whatever it may be, my prayer is that we use those times as moments to draw closer to God and really lean in on Him and really trust His understanding over my own, preconceived notion or what I think or what I'm choosing to believe in the moment.
Yeah, no, it's very, very good. It's, again, we're figuring this stuff out too. And so we're not special or anything like that. And so I love that idea of just, simplicity and community and Bible and, any last sort of tips for anybody listening interested in the Enneagram or kind of like as we wrap up, like any last parting sort of, hey, I want people to hear this.
Yeah, sure. I think it's something that we've said over and over again. You are created, called, and loved by God. And the Enneagram is a tool that can help teach you how to love God better and use it well. But know at the end of the day, it is not what defines you, but it is a powerful tool to point you back to the one who does.
Boom. Boom. Perfect way to describe it. Jessica, it's been an absolute blast to have you on the podcast. You rock.
Thank you for having me. This was my first podcast experience, and it was really fun. So thank you so much.
Of course. And tell everybody your handle on Instagram so they can find you.
Yes, so it's at Enneagram. It's Enneagram with an M in front of it.
Got it. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, go check her out. Go check out everything that they're doing over there. Thanks for listening, guys.